first song this morning being number two. Number two. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise his name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all his angels praise proclaim, all his hosts together sun and moon and stars on high. Praise him, O ye heaven of heaven, and ye floods above the sky. Let them praise his Jehovah, for his name alone is high. And his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. All ye fruitful trees and cedars, all ye hills and mountains high, creeping things and beasts and cattle, birds that in the heavens fly, kings of earth and all ye people, praise his great earth, God is all. Praise his name, young men and maidens, aged men and children small. Let them praise his dear Jehovah, our for the prayer, we'll sing number 969. Disregard the board. 969. Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, Kumbaya. Kumbaya, come back here, my Lord, come back here, come back here, my Lord, come back here, come back here. Come back here.
Let's bow in prayer. Oh Lord, my God, we humbly approach your throne this morning with songs and praise. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given us and the fact that we're able to come together this day as a family to sing praises to your name for all that you have shown to us and provided for us. Father, as a nation, we are entering into a season of thanksgiving. We ask that each one of us examines our hearts and give praise to you each and every single day of our lives. Not just on a Thanksgiving day, but every single day, for the fact that we have the opportunity to go out and tell the world of your Son's saving grace. What a wonderful gift he gave us when he went to the cross on our behalf. Father, we thank you for the elders of this congregation and the wisdom that they have as they shepherd us. We ask that you give them a double blessing for the job that they do. It's no easy task to be able to take care of the jobs that they have to do to provide for us. We ask that you watch over us as a congregation to be able to come together as a family and to be able to be helpful to one another, to be able to see to each other's needs. Watch over us as we go out into the world that we might tell the world of the news that we have that they need. Watch over Skippy as he provides a lesson for us to be able to ponder upon, to be able to take into our hearts. And if it be so, Father, that it pricks our heart enough to be able to act upon the words that he has provided for us. Father, these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
this time, we've come to the portion of our worship service where we remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the partaking of the Lord's Supper. And to establish some scriptural reference for this, I just want to read a brief passage of scriptures here. And firstly, I'll just mention that in the book of Acts, chapter 20, in verses 7 here, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." And that's just establishing that the Lord's Supper is a part of our weekly worship on the first day of the week. Want to read briefly just the second set of scriptures here. And this describes what the Lord's Supper is. And this is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'll start at verse 23. This is the Apostle Paul. "For I have received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" And so, brothers and sisters, as part of our worship on the first day of the week, we have the two emblems as part of the Lord's Supper. Remember the sacrifice that our Lord made on the cross of Calvary. We have the bread, which represents his body, and the cup, or the fruit of the vine, and that which represents his shed blood. So at this time, we'll offer thanks for the bread and partake of that, and then we'll do the same for the cup. Would you bow with me as we give thanks for the bread? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. At this time, Lord, we're so mindful and thankful, Father, for thy Son and our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. And Father, as we're about to partake of this bread, Lord, help us to clear our mind of all other thoughts, Father, all other worries. Let's reflect back to the cross, Father, reflect back to our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. And Father, we ask that as we partake of this bread, Lord, may we do so in a way and in a manner that's most pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father. We ask that, that you bless this bread and bless those who are about to partake. And we ask these things, Father, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us give thanks. Thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our most kind, loving, generous Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, allowing us to rise from our beds this morning, Heavenly Father, allowing us to come together, another worship service unto you, to be able to come together and gather around the Lord's table on this first day of the week. We're so thankful for this opportunity to come together in remembrance to take this opportunity to clear our minds, Heavenly Father, to reflect back on a cruel day on the cross, Heavenly Father. We're so thankful to thy Son, for we know, Heavenly Father, thy Son was without sin. You know that thy Son had the power to save himself from that fate on that cruel cross. But he loved this world so much, Heavenly Father, that he was willing to take on the sins of this world and give his life. We pray at this time, Heavenly Father, that as we're about to partake of this through the divine who represents thy Son, most precious blood, that we do so in a manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we pray for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
We do our best to ensure that all Christians have the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, but it's possible somebody might have been inadvertently overlooked. So if you were missed in the passing of the bread or the cup, would you signal to us by raising your hand and we'll see to it that you're served at this time. I don't see any hands. So this concludes the Lord's Supper, and next we'll move into another portion of our worship service, and that concerns giving. And I just wanted to real briefly read a set of passages referencing some scriptural support for giving as well. This one will be from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and I'll start at verse 1 there. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And this, brothers and sisters, establishes giving as a part of our worship on the first day of the week. I want to briefly read a couple set of passages here, this time from 2 Corinthians. And this describes the heart, manner, and mindset that we ought to have as we have the opportunity to give back. 2 Corinthians 9, starting at verse 6. With this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so as we have this opportunity to give back, let's not treat this the same way as one of them never-ending bills that pops up in the mailbox. This is an opportunity that we have to give back to the Lord, really just a small portion of what He's richly blessed us with. So let's remember that. And at this time, we'll go to God and give thanks for that opportunity we have to give back. You bow. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow once again before your throne, Father. At this time, Lord, we're ever mindful and thankful for all the many, many and tremendous blessings of life that you've freely bestowed upon each and every one of us here, Father. And we know that our blessings are like the grains of sand on the seashore, Father. They're too numerous to even begin to count and contemplate, Father. But Lord, we recognize that all things flow from Thee. And Father, at this time, as we have a chance to give back a portion of that which You blessed us with, Lord, we pray, Father, that our hearts would be willing and cheerful, and that the contribution collected, Father, would help to further the work of the church here and broaden the boundaries of Thy kingdom, Father. And we ask these things, Father, in the name of Thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
There is a friend who walks with me.
lift me. Lead me safely through the sinking. It is a cry of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord. Please take the love to me the best I can. For I need Thy love to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need Thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, but Thy saving God, hear my plea, my feeble plea. Lord, dear Lord, look down on me when I kneel in prayer. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. When I wander through the valley, toward the setting of the sun, lead me safely to a bed of rest, if I am found of life have won. I have put my faith in Thee, dear Lord, that I may be a golden strand. There's no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, by Thy saving power, hear my plea, my feeble plea. Lord, dear Lord, look down on me when I kneel in prayer. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need it every hour. Through this man, this pilgrim land, by Thy saving power,
Scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. And the title of Skippy's lesson this morning is Work in Progress. Again, that's Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 4. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Brother Skip.
Once again, good morning to everyone. Surely God has been good to us, allowed us to be able to assemble ourselves together on this morning. Good to see those who are here visiting with us. But who count you as our honored guest, we're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Eternal Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for this day and your blessings, this opportunity you've given us to assemble ourselves together this morning. We just thank you for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And Father, now we're about to go into your word, that we clear our minds and focus upon your word, the things that it has to say to us. And the conclusion of this message, there'll be things we've fallen short of. Give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Gather in your word the things that I say, Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We look in Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 18. God tells Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house, and there he said, I will cause you to hear my words. Then we find that Jeremiah, he makes his way to the potter's house, and what he finds is that he finds the potter hard at work fashioning a vessel on his wheels. Now, manufacturing of pottery was a major industry in Jeremiah's day. And so the Bible says in verse number 3 that he wrought a work on the wheels. When you look at the word wrought, the word in the Hebrew, it means to fashion, it means to prepare, it means to hold, it means to fashion. And so this morning you must understand the significance of this text as it relates to you and I. When you look at the potter, who is the potter? The potter is our wonderful God. But who is the clay? The clay is you and I. See, before any beautiful vase or any piece of art is created, it first becomes a vision. It becomes a design or a picture in the mind of the potter. And so, but look at the process. The process that the potter uses to make this beautiful piece of pottery. First of all, his main ingredient is clay. Now, what the potter does is that the potter, he searches for the right kind of clay, clay that is dug out, that is deep in the ground. And then it is brought to the vicinity of the potter, and it is allowed to set for weeks. And the material then is dumped into a cement-lined tank or a wooden trough, and it is covered with water. And when the lumps have softened, then they are stirred into the water until all have disintegrated, and then slimy mud has been formed. And then it sits for another 6 months before it is ready to be used. The longer it sits, the more improved it becomes. In other words, the clay, as it is taken from the ground, is worthless. It must be transformed into a usable and state, and then is a process that takes time and energy of the potter. This is a perfect example of we as sinners. We are worthless in a natural condition. However, God is able to see the vessels that we can become. Then, therefore, he begins the process that brings us to a place of usefulness. He digs us out. He dries us up. And he washes us clean. But then the next process of becoming a beautiful vessel, that is that after the clay has been cleansed, after the clay has been processed, it is laid on a table and beaten with a wooden mallet. And the potter does this to remove any air bubbles that might be trapped in the clay. And if he doesn't, then the air bubble will form a pocket that will produce a weak spot and cause the vessel to be fragile or unusable. And what this describes to us is that it describes the trial, the calamities, the hurt, the sorrow, and the pain that we encounter in this life. But then there is the wheels. When you look at the text, it has the S on the wheels. The word wheel is plural. Well, why? Because the potter, he sits between two stone wheels that are joined by a shaft, and the potter has one foot on the wheel that's near the ground, and then the potter has his hand near the other wheel holding the vessel. See, both wheels are at work in you. There is the earthly or lower wheel that is all we can see down here. It symbolizes the circumstances, the situation that life brings our way. But then there is the heavenly or the high wheel that the Father sees and that he understands. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 17 and 18, for our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So here's what you got to understand this morning about the potter. He takes the clay, then he puts it on a wheel to form. One hand is inside, the other hand is on the outside. One hand holds and gives it the desired form, while the other hand, which is on the outside, It smooths and refines the curves that's in it. Well, what is the lesson? The lesson is God's got his hands on your outside, but he's also working on your inside. He's got his hand on your inside to keep you stable, but he's still working some kinks out on the outside so people won't see all of your frailties and all of your fragilities. He's fixing you and I on the inside so that he can handle us on the outside. There is some stuff that he wants to give you and I on the outside so that people can see our blessings, but he can't give us our outside stuff until he does an inside job on you and I. So life, it often seems like a large circle, one trial after another. Sometimes the clay doesn't like to be shaped, and it fights back a little bit, and it wobbles a little bit. Oftentimes we jump off before we are formed into the vessel because we get tired of being on the wheel. And so we got to remember that the potter controls the speed of the wheels, and they only rotate according to his will. Never forget that God is still in control, regardless of what you and I face in this life. And so when you get to verse number 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Now notice this, that the text does not say that the vessel was marred by the potter's hand, nor does it say that the vessel was marred because of the potter's hand. But notice what he says, that the vessel was marred in the potter's hands. And so we see Jeremiah, he sees that the clay resisting the potter's hands, he sees the vessel ruined from resisting and marred. Well, how do we get marred? When we hold grudges and refuse to forgive, we become lumps in the clay. When we decide to become something other than what the great potter has decided, we become lumps in the clay. And then the potter has then a choice. And that choice is that he can leave the clay alone, untouched, or make out of it a vessel of beauty. Jesus could have taken, he could have taken this deformed, this marred, this inadequate, this messed up, this sin-sick, good-for-nothing piece of clay, and he could have tossed it aside. Why? Because he is God. He could have taken this clay, he could have thrown it out, started with new clay, but he kept the same broken vessel, the same defaced, the same disfigured, the same blemished clay, and formed the vessel fit for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He could have easily started over in the Garden of Eden, but my God said, no, I'm going to take these same broken pieces and I'm going to put them back together again. That's the kind of God that you and I serve this morning. And so notice this, the potter, he makes another vessel. What's the application? It's simple. As the potter has the power over the clay, so God has the power over you and I today. God doesn't ask for our advice. Our responsibility is to simply yield to the will of God. And so we are still a work in progress. He still molds us. He still shapes us with his hands. Yes, you are already fearfully and wonderfully made by God, according to Psalm 139 and verse 14. Yes, you are the crown of God's creation, according to Genesis 1, verse 26 through 31. But yet God is still shaping you, molding you, or better yet, he is still reshaping. He is still remolding you and I from the inside. That is, he is reshaping in your heart, in your soul, and in your mind, so that he can transform into the person that he wants you to be for his glory. Now the question is, how does God shape and mold us to be like his son, Jesus Christ? Well, God shapes and molds us when we place our faith in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. God shapes and molds us when we go to him in prayer, in faith. Jeremiah 33 and verse number 3. God shapes and molds us when we study, obey, and live according to his word. Psalm 119 and verse 133. God shapes and molds us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. God shapes and molds us through life experiences. Psalm 119 and verse number 67. Yes, God, we use variety of life experiences, whether they're good or whether they are bad, with the purpose to shape and mold us into the person that he wants us to be for the glory of God. And sometimes God has to allow us to be broken spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, and financially, so God can shape and mold us into the person he wants us to be. Just like the potter has to squash the clay while on the spinning wheel so that he can reform the clay into the vessel that he wants it to become. Sometimes God has to squash us so that we can be reshaped, so that we can be remolded into the person that he wants us to be. Sometimes God has to squash the pride out of us. Sometimes God has to squash the hate and the bitterness out of us, the excessive anger, the drugs, the alcohol, or anything that is not like him out of our lives, so that he can reshape and remold us into the person he wants us to be. But know this one thing. Know this one thing. If God has to break you, reshape you, remold you, that's a good thing. And the reason that it's a good thing, because while he is breaking you, while he is reshaping you, While he is remoting you, you can still, you understand that you are still in his hands. And I'm so glad about that. And so, since we are still in his hands, instead of fighting and resisting him, we should willingly submit to Almighty God in every part of our lives so that God can continue to reshape and remold us into that person that he wants us to be. But church, not only is God interested in shaping and remolding you, but he's also interested in putting you back together again. Life may have been shattered by the storms of this life, but yet God wants to put your life back together again. When you have messed up and sinned, when your life has been broken into pieces by the storms of this life, God would not utterly cast us down. For the psalmist said, the Lord upholdeth us in his hands. Psalm 37 and verse 23 through 24. And so you see our life as I close. Our life is like a broken vase that was broken when it fell off the shelf. Instead of throwing that vase away, the owner of the vase, he goes and he buys some super glue to put that vase back together again. Likewise, sometimes our lives get shattered by sin, shattered by the storm of life. But God is able. He's able to put us back together again. But instead of using super glue, God uses the blood of Jesus Christ to clean us up. And he uses the power of the Holy Spirit to put us back together again. And I say to you this morning that no matter how bad you may have messed up, no matter how bad your life has been shattered by the storm of life, Jesus is able. He's able to straighten up your life and to put you back together again. Understand this morning that we are all a work in progress. He's still working on me. And he's still working on you to make you what you ought to be. Stay on the potter's wheel and let him shape you. Let him remold and make you what you ought to be. Don't sit up there and get impatient. Don't get off the wheel and say, I had enough. Because let me tell you something, we serve a God. If God has a choice, he can throw you away, or he can remold you and make you what you ought to be. You ought to say this morning, God, thank you that I'm still in your hands. Thank you, Lord, that you're still remolding me. You're still making me to what I ought to be. And I'm so glad this morning that God is not finished with me yet. And God is not finished with you yet. He could have taken you out of this world, but he kept you on this sad time of life. because he's not finished with you yet. If you're here this morning and not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you heard the word. Believe it to be true, repent of your sins, confess Christ, and live unto that. If you're here in a Christian, not been living as a Christian should, maybe you ain't got off that wheel. Get back on the wheel and let God continue to work on you to make you what you ought to be. Come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
There's a fountain which is for you and me that I send away to the grave. It is a fountain of love from the source of life, and he is
thank you.